sometimes reread paragraphs.
And I'm Rose, and books are hard.
I'm Kelly, and I was obsessed with books about cats for 3 years.
Wait, so was Alexandra.
Yeah.
That was like 10,000 years.
Well, it was
is that how
school.
You guys became
it was, friends? It was the same book series, right? Warrior Cats?
Yes, Warrior Cats. Yeah. Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, so welcome back to what was I saying?
Living with ADHD.
Yes.
This is episode 31, Reading with ADHD.
And we have a very special guest today. Kelly, if you'd like to say hello and maybe introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Kelly. I know Alex from college. We were English majors together, so I guess that's why I'm on the episode about reading.
Yeah, so if you just like give like some background about yourself and what your relationship with ADHD is, like if you're comfortable talking about when you got diagnosed and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I got diagnosed with ADHD toward the beginning of high school. I think I displayed some pretty clear signs, you know, early on in childhood, but that was sort of around the time it was starting to affect my schoolwork. So that was when, you know, adults in my life started noticing. And I think having that diagnosis helped me recognize so much in my life. And for a while, I didn't think that it really applied to me when it comes to reading. But like I said, I was obsessed with this book about cats for 3 years. So I think now I can see how huge it was for my hyperfixations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. I think, Rose, you can kind of resonate with that a little bit just because you were diagnosed a little bit more later in life as well, right?
Yeah, I got my ADHD diagnosis when I was a senior in high school, and it only happened because I was like, I wasn't having any type of academic failures or anything like that. Like, I still had good grades, but I was so miserable. Like, I don't know. It's like that feeling of you're sitting next to somebody and you're both taking the same test and you're like, your brain is exploding. And then you look over and like the person next to you is not exploding. And then you hate yourself. That was how I got my ADHD diagnosis.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know so many people with ADHD who didn't think they had it for a long time because they liked school or were good at school. And there are just so many symptoms that people don't really know about.
True. That's true. Yeah, we always just, you've said this before just in talking, just in general, knowing you, but ADHD is definitely known as the, how did you say it? You said, the can't sit still disorder. That's
I saw that
it.
In a meme, but I definitely but it's think true. It's that's how people think about it.
Yeah. it's considered this can't
Although,
sit
to be
still
fair,
disorder,
like,
you know? So, like.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you.
Like the fidgeting and everything.
Yeah. And not to say that those things aren't real, it's just only part of it.
It's a very small part of it, really, when you think about it. But it's because that's the visual part of it. And honestly, we as people, we are all very visual. Like because mental illnesses are, like, quote unquote, all in our heads, But it's harder for someone to empathize. So when you actually see a physical symptom, like not sitting still, that becomes, you know, the stereotypical, I feel like, symptom.
Yeah.
Of it.
Oh, speaking of symptoms, quick disclaimer, we are not doctors.
We are not medical professionals.
So we are not qualified to diagnose or tell you how to live your life, or we are qualified to tell you truths about our lives, but that is about as qualified as we get.
Yes. So we always, so it's always good to say these things. Like, I know we say it every single episode, but like always good to reiterate, you know, cover all our bases.
If at this point you thought we were doctors,
no, I got
well,
news
honestly
for you.
I wouldn't be surprised, because if I was listening to our podcast, I might have tuned out and not known that we're not doctors. But just in case you missed it the other 30 times that we said it, we're still not doctors.
So Kelly is here because she's another English major, just like I was. So we both have BAs in English from the college that we went to. And we both love to read. And that's why we thought having an episode like this would be really cool. Plus, it's very, I know for me, when I'm reading, I love to read. But boy, I can get really distracted really easily. Like my intro was saying, like, I'll reread a sentence because my mind wanders. Or like I'll get distracted with something outside, so I'll have to like come back and like lose my spot on the page and like end up rereading what I read before, and it's just you know.
Yeah,
and I feel like sometimes I'll get distracted, but almost distracted by the story. Like I'll focus on one detail, and then my mind will trail off about that, and then I'm deep in Google about something related to that idea. You know, I'll be immersed in the story, but get distracted within it.
That's legit. So you may be wondering, why does this happen? Why is reading such a confuzzling thing for folks with ADHD? Well, indeed, many people have actually researched this. So I have a little bitty journal article. And by little bitty, I mean really long. And
only gonna I didn't read the whole thing of it.
We're going to read a little bitty bit of it because I didn't even read the whole thing. Because as you guys know, I feel like books are hard. And that doesn't change even if it's not on paper. So I've got this article here. This is from the J. Abnormal Child Psychology Journal. It's called Reading Comprehension in Children with ADHD, Cognitive Underpinnings of the Centrality Deficit. And it has a variety of authors: Amanda C. Miller, Janice M. Keegan, Rebecca S. Begelman, Eric Wilcutt, Bruce F. Pennington, and Richard K. Olson. And I am going to read just a small section of it where they did a variety of different studies, but unfortunately a lot of it came out inconclusive. They were trying to figure out why reading is hard for somebody with ADHD, but ultimately this is kind of one of the things that they sort of landed on. Let me put on my professional journal reader voice because basically that's my job now. Okay. We suggest that the centrality deficit occurs because children with ADHD do not form all the appropriate connections among the text-related ideas. Typically, central ideas emerge as central because they are the most interconnected ideas in the text representation. One explanation for what might hinder children with ADHD from forming these connections is that their deficit requires them to devote more cognitive resources than typical readers to sustaining attention, and consequently, they are left with fewer cognitive resources to devote to higher-level comprehension, including connecting related ideas to form a coherent mental representation. Ugh, big brain. Ugh. I need to, like, chew some gum. That was a lot of words. But in summation, bing, light bulb. Basically what they're saying is that one of the reasons it's harder for people with ADHD to do, like, reading comprehension is harder for people with ADHD is because due to the fact that maintaining concentration on a book, it takes a lot of mental energy when you have ADHD, which I think we can all vouch for. Ideas that the text is trying to get across might be more of a challenge.
Yeah, and that makes sense, you know, because, again, you can get overstimulated by something outside of the book. You can start daydreaming about concepts of the book, like you were saying, Kelly. And, you know, it's just, I feel like it's hard for the brain, our brains, to just really concentrate on this one thing because it's just not what our brains are wired. So that makes sense. I get that. But, I mean, again, like, I feel like we always say this in our episodes, but, like, some things, tasks or activities that are supposed to be these things that are quote-unquote easy, quote-unquote, are harder for people with ADHD. That doesn't mean we can't do it, obviously. It just, you know, I mean, for me at least, it might take me a little bit longer to read a book or an article or, not even kidding, Facebook. Like, when I'm scrolling through Facebook, I know for a fact that, like, when I get to something that's, like, an actual text, it takes me longer to read than, like, some people I know. So, you know, it is what it is. I can do it, just, well, you know, a little slower. I'm not that mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, I used to, especially in school, when reading comprehension, like, I took a language, whatever, I don't know, there were two AP English classes, and one of them was, like, reading comprehension based. It was very much about interpreting text. And I remember really struggling with that. And I feel like that kind of makes sense. It was the reason I was struggling with that was because the fact that I had to concentrate on reading didn't leave much room for me to really do advanced interpretations of the text.
Yeah.
And I think that had a lot to do with the ways that I was getting distracted. So I guess I'm wondering, and this can be a question for the group or specifically for you, Kelly, since you're our guest and we want to hear from you. Just kind of in general, like what ways do you feel like you get distracted while reading and doing reading comprehension and focusing on language? Or, and also, what effect do those distractions have on your reading?
Yeah, I think both of those are a little bit different if you're talking about reading in the way that schools teach reading and expect you to read books for classroom purposes and then reading for your own pleasure. Because if I get a little bit distracted when I'm just reading a book for fun, it doesn't have a whole lot of consequences. I can go back to the book and pick up where I left off. I can focus on it in my own way. But the specific details and ways that schools want you to read and interpret information in books is a little bit more specific. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there. I think I've struggled to read in school a little bit. You know, I was an English major, so it's something that, you know, I cared enough about to keep working on. But I think I've struggled with reading in school in a very different way than I would in my own personal reading.
That makes sense. That makes sense because in school, and you were saying like when you're reading for fun, there is no consequence. You can put it down and come back to it. But in school, you know, there is, you know, if you don't finish this book or if you don't write this paper on this book, because I don't know about you, but SparkNotes was my friend in college, you know, there's that consequence. There's a consequence of, you know, a bad grade or a mark down or failing, you know, worst comes to worst, failing a class. So that makes sense. I still feel like even with all those outside motivators, I know for me, like when I was in school, like I still got distracted and I still procrastinated reading the books that I had to read. And I hate to say this, but I think school damaged how much I love to read. Because I
Oh,
had to
that I
do
think
it.
I think could be relatable to a lot of people even without ADHD, though
Oh,
it might affect
yeah,
ADHD differently.
absolutely. But I was
I feel
someone.
like that's pretty universal, unless you like,
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to be a like a freaking like have some kind of peace of mind that is not achieved by the average young
Yeah.
adult adolescent.
Right
I
out of
also think
college.
growing up in general affects reading, not even just specifically school, just being an adult and having, you
No
know,
time.
all these more responsibilities.
Yeah.
I can't imagine escaping into a book the way I did in fifth grade.
Yeah, I agree.
I still read and enjoy it. I still love books, but I
Mm
don't think I'll ever escape into them the same way I did this when I was a kid. And that's kind of sad.
yeah, it is. It's definitely not our fault. I personally, I mean, okay, the way we teach reading, the way Rose and I learned reading and reading comprehension, I believe that's the way you should learn. We both went to a Montessori school. I think I might have told you this before, but we both went to a Montessori school, and it was a very independent kind of learning environment where they gave us these books to read. When we were really, really little, obviously we had like circle time and we were read to. But like as we grew up, we were able to just go and go to the bookshelf and pick out the book we wanted to read and things like that. And then high school comes along, and I'm now in a public school system, and how not learning to read, but like how learning reading comprehension and actually analyze books and write papers on them and things like that changed drastically for me. And I was almost shook by it. And it was not conducive for my ADHD brain. Learned that real quick.
Yeah, and well, I went to public school, and I think one sort of similar experience was that I always loved projects about books. I loved, you know, making posters about books because then I could show what I loved about the book or what I didn't like. I could show this is the plot that I thought was really interesting. This is the character that I related to. But if you take a test on a book, it's sort of just like
It's taking the fun out of it.
the question might be how many birds were there in chapter three? If you really enjoy a book, you're not counting birds unless it's actually relevant.
Right, yeah. Yeah, when you have to
Sorry, that
analyze a
was a random
book.
example. I can't think of a book that would be a question for, but you know. the questions are kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, no, but like, because if you have to, like, even if you've enjoyed this book that you were reading for class and you know you have to take a test, like, I might be enjoying the book, but not quite as much as if I knew I wasn't going to take a test. Like, if I was going to do, like you said, a project, I feel like I would have enjoyed it more because I'm able to. I feel like with the projects, you can actually also be a little bit more creative. And certainly, at least for me, and I don't know about you, but at least for me, when I'm able to be creative, especially when it's with something that I like, a whole new world has been opened up, you know? As soon as you take the fun out of something that you previously found fun, it's so hard to deal with that, you know?
It becomes not fun anymore.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel so defeated at that point. Like, this is this thing that I really loved to do. What happened?
Yeah, I feel like I stopped loving reading. I don't even know when it happened. It's been so long for me since I've loved to read, which is really sad. Like, I liked to read when I was really little. Like, I liked to read, like, chapter books when I was in, like, second to through fifth grade, when it was like Magic Treehouse and Junie B. Jones and like rainbow magic unicorns and fairies and that kind of stuff. I really loved those kinds of books. I was really into horses for a while, so I read a lot of horse books. I feel like everybody was really into horses for a while.
Maybe I'll message you after this. We could talk about horse books. Chestnut Hill, Saddle Club.
Oh, yeah.
Thoroughbred.
Heartlands.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You have a better memory than I do. But I definitely remember Saddle Club and also Heartlands. Wow.
I remember Thoroughbreds. That's a weird one to remember.
I don't know. And there were like those books about the fairies and like everyone had a different color. There was like red, blue,
yes.
Violet.
I can't.
But they weren't named. Yeah. After the colors, it was like violet, ruby, topaz. I don't remember all the details, but I used to love those too. But then, like, I don't know, maybe around, like, as soon as it was now required to read.
Yeah.
As soon as it became a requirement. And as soon, you know what it was? We used to have these little packets when we were in... as we were getting older, we called them SRAs at Montessori, but were basically reading comprehension quizzes.
I actually enjoyed those. And
they would have like lots of different topics, and it would be like it was basically like on the AP Lang exam, except for fourth graders. It would have like a passage and then a series of different questions you had to answer about it. That was when I started hating reading because I just like. As soon as you make me read something with this particular outcome in mind, then I can't enjoy it anymore because my brain has to think about too many things at once and immediately becomes overwhelmed and unhappy.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I think the first time I don't know. I don't want to say I didn't like reading because I've just always loved reading. But I think the first time ADHD affected my reading and I felt that in a negative way.
Oh, wait, hold the phone.
Is this a tangent time?
Is it?
I mean, like, I feel like it is. That's the vibe that I'm getting.
I think it's a tangent time.
Okay, all right. Well, let's call it what it is then. Tangent time.
So, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So, yeah, okay. Go for it.
Yeah, it was in third grade. My class was reading this book. I can't remember the name of the book, but I remember the plot was this boy, and everything he touched turned into chocolate. And the cover was this picture of him touching, I think it was his mother, and it just showed her turning into chocolate. Like, the cover was the process of her turning into chocolate.
Oh my
God.
I
was just mesmerized. I was mesmerized by this cover.
So instead of King Midas, it was like... King Midas.
I think the character's last name was Midas, and you know, I would not have recognized that as a third grader, but it was a cute story. And my class read this popcorn style, so someone would read a paragraph, and then they would popcorn it to someone else. And this is like my nightmare with ADHD, because I would just never know when it was coming to me. I was following what we were reading, but I wouldn't always be reading at the same pace as people, sometimes I would go slower or faster, just depending on how quickly the person read. And we were reading the chapter that described the book cover. So as soon as it described his mother turning into chocolate, I immediately just closed the book and looked at the cover, because I thought, this is happening now. I have to look at it. And then, of course, someone says my name, and I don't know where we are. And my teacher says, oh, you weren't paying attention. And he was sort of right, but also sort of not. I was paying attention. I was engaged in the book. But I guess the way I pay attention is different than the way someone without ADHD would pay attention. And the teacher might not recognize that or know it, especially because I wasn't diagnosed at that point. So he wouldn't have been looking for it.
Yeah. I mean, you were definitely paying attention. You were stimulated by what you were reading, and then you connected it. Your third grade mind connected what you were reading with the cover, and you were like, oh, this is really cool. Which, I mean, it sounds like you're a visual person. I'm a visual person too. So that's something I don't know. I've never done that, but I feel like that's something that I would do and then get in trouble for it. I think it's unfair of teachers with a diagnosis of ADHD or any mental disorder or not. It's unfair for teachers to do that to kids, to instead of saying, oh, just because you weren't doing this thing the exact way I wanted you to do, you automatically weren't paying attention. I don't think that's fair.
Especially in third grade.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, I understand that some kids don't pay attention and, you know, they're quote unquote trouble kids, which I kind of hate that word. But anyways, I get that, but I think as a teacher, like, you should be trained and you should know who...
Yeah, and...
And to differentiate
I studied
the
education
and help in both ways.
I studied education in college, and in my education program in college, we learned that popcorn reading actually isn't evidence-based and doesn't help reading comprehension for kids, just regardless of whether they have ADHD or not. It's just not an evidence-based method. So if you guys want articles,
I
can...
pressure of having... Reading... People read out loud. Their ability to read out loud and their ability to read and comprehend is not linked. Like, you can be great at reading out loud, but totally not understand at all what you're reading. Or you can be terrible at reading out loud because you're shy or you are dyslexic or, like, any of number of reasons, and be extremely smart and extremely good at reading comprehension. So,
yeah, I really hate reading out loud. When I read out loud, and this podcast is evidence because I've done it with our research, but my brain, it reads faster than I can speak the words. So I'll stumble because I'm ahead of where my words are. So, like, and so I'll stutter, like, not stutter, like, you know, like a actual stutter, but like I'll stumble. I guess that's better. I'll stumble over the words, so it makes me sound like I can't read, when in all reality I'm reading too fast than my mouth can actually keep up with. And then I have to say to myself, Alex, slow down. You're gonna sound like you're talking gibberish. But no, in high school, because in Montessori we didn't read out loud. If I'm remembering correctly, if we did, it was once in a blue moon. It wasn't often.
We would read to somebody would come. I read to your grandma.
Yes, I don't mean. Yeah, that's true. My grandmother used to come and, like, aid in the class. It was really cute. That is different. I mean, like, in a group setting, like popcorn.
Oh, I don't
you,
know.
You never did the popcorn style.
I don't think we did.
I did it in high school.
Yeah, I did it in high school.
But it wasn't like you randomly say someone's name and, like, get blindsided. It was like we go around the circle or we go through the classroom, and it gives you time to, like, count ahead and see which paragraph you're going to be reading.
I've had that too, and the problem with that is then I'll spend the whole time rehearsing my section in my head and then actually get no comprehension for the rest of the chapter.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's needy. I'm not sure if that's an ADHD thing or just a general
that might be I think that's partially anxiety too.
I've read some articles actually about how that is related to, can be a symptom of ADHD or dyslexia, which are both fall under the same, umbrella, the purple umbrella of neurodiversity, which essentially encompasses I think ADHD, dyslexia, autism, various things that like affect the neurological pathways. So there's like,
Like
I think,
behavioral, just
okay,
what, like
I'm still kind of
behavioral things?
figuring it out. And don't, if I'm wrong about this, I'm sorry, listeners, but I think there's some mental health things that are related to chemical imbalances, and then there's some that are related to like brain waves and brain communication patterns. And
I
I think
actually was thinking
ADHD.
about this earlier today and wasn't sure what the answer was, so that's actually really helpful to know.
So like the
I
dropped
might have
call
just
thing,
straight
kind
up
of.
made that up though. But I feel
Yeah,
like
but
that's
it
correct.
makes sense that there's a difference between, you know, having something like ADHD or autism as opposed to like other mental health issues
Yeah,
like
like
depression,
anxiety.
anxiety,
Yeah.
PTSD, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the science behind it, but I'm sure it's there. Someone knows the science, just not me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think for me, and maybe both of you will relate to this to some extent, I think for me the best thing about reading with ADHD is the hyperfixation. Especially when you're a kid, like I really just escaped into books. And I think some people, you know, can read a book and escape into it while they're reading and then put it down and move on with their lives. I've never been able to do that. When I am obsessed with a book, it just took over every aspect of my
Oh,
life.
me too. When I was into the Warrior series, I was so into it. I think I've told you this. I tried to write fan fiction to Warriors. I was
I
so
wrote Warriors fan fiction too.
obsessed with it. Yes. I was so obsessed with it that I was like I was reading all the books and I was going through them like one after the other. Like when I hyperfixate on reading, I can read faster than when I'm not hyperfixating on it. Of course that,
The best
but
thing about books like that is that they have this whole world that you can sort of insert yourself into.
yeah, because it's a broad world. It's not just like one life.
Did you write first person fan fiction?
No, I wrote
Like,
third person.
I
I
meet
actually
Snowball
think I
McFluffins
did both.
in the field. I'm
Did
sorry, I
you?
never read the Warrior series. That sounded really, really condescending, but it wasn't meant to be. It's literally just my lack of knowledge.
No, I when I tried to write my fan fiction when I was, I think we were in like fourth, fifth grade or something.
I
I
remember
wrote
it.
I wrote in third person, but I wrote in
The
the
first
person.
fan fiction I ever wrote was in first grade.
Really?
It was fan fiction of Fluffy the Guinea Pig from the Fluffy the Guinea Pig books, and he met my class guinea pig. They really hit it off.
That's so cute. That's really cute.
I did do the fan fiction thing when I was in high school for a little while, and honestly in college too. And sometimes I still dabble, but I not like as much as I used to.
I think I wrote fan fiction for my senior writing projects. I was retelling myths. That's kind of fan
That's
fiction.
basically fan fiction.
Yeah, that is basically, yeah.
In my opinion, there's no shame in it. They're all fictional characters. We can do whatever we want to them. Just
Yeah.
don't be like super creepy because there are young people that read fan fiction. That's
Yeah.
kind of my philosophy.
Yeah. Honestly, it's anything to engage your brain as something creative. It's anything to like get your brain going, and like if you're able to escape into this world so much that you can write a story about it, like you've just retained all that information really, really well, that you're able to remember the characters and like come up with a whole new scenario for them, and it's really cool. Like it's really, really cool to be able to do that, I think. I don't know about you, but I've only tried fan fiction a couple of times because I found it harder than coming up with my own stuff. But I did dabble, if
It's
one
a
would
really good
say.
way to boost your ego as a writer, I feel like. Like, if you post fan fiction, people love it, even if it sucks.
Okay, that's a fair
On
point.
That's true. If they like, I've definitely read poorly written fan fictions and enjoyed it just because I love that character so much or an
Yeah,
idea
it's
they
not so
use.
much the quality of writing, but the fact that you know those characters so well that it doesn't matter how good or how bad the writing is, you understand what's going on, you know? Yeah, that is a good point, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, so I recommend it to young writers. It really helped me boost my self-esteem to have
Yeah.
people be like, wow, that was so powerful.
And also
And I'm
just good
like,
writing
well, they
practice
just stood
too.
next to each other, but like, okay.
Yes. But anyways, so I think we're gonna start wrapping up a bit. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on and chatting with us, rambling along with us, if you will. But yeah, is there anything you'd like to add before we leave, or is there anything you'd like to say to the world, I guess?
Yeah, I guess my last note would be, well, sort of, this is sort of a summary of a lot of things we've talked about, but there might be certain struggles or different ways that people with ADHD read, but I think whenever I talk about ADHD, it all goes back to we might sometimes have trouble paying attention, but we pay attention in our own ways. And I think it's important to remember that in reading, just because you have ADHD and your mind is in a million places, it doesn't mean you can't comprehend what you're reading or be a good reader.
Yeah, that well, yeah, well said. That is a really, really good point. I like that a lot. So thank you so much, Kelly, for your input and your time. I realize it was a little bit hard to get together. I apologize. Partially my fault, ADHD. But as always, you can follow us on our Facebook, which is what was I saying? Living with ADHD.
And you can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram at @what_was_I_saying, living with hashtag tangent time, to tell us your stories about your crazy books that you read or don't read, depending on if you're like me or like these two. And oh, leave us a review on iTunes so that we can be better and live better. Geico? What?
What?
Who, what's that? What's the commercial that's like,
Save money,
live
live better,
better?
Walmart.
Oh, save money, live, yeah, leave us a review so we can save money, live better, Walmart.
What?
All right, I quit. I'm not doing this podcast anymore. Thank you everyone for listening to, what was I saying?
Living with ADHD.